The prisoner, the powerless, the slave have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the sky. And even life begins because a baby fights for freedom, and songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. Some have walked through fire and flood to find the place of freedom, and some faced hell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain.
Let freedom
built freedom into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us to all be free and whole.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition, and that song is just perfect for this morning, Let Freedom Ring, the Gaither Vocal Band, because we are the first of the 19th year of 9/11, and that was 19 years ago today, and it seems like that many times people forget about 9/11 and what really took place. And it's a sad day for America that day. And so we're thankful for freedom. We're thankful for freedom. We thank you that that Bin Laden is no longer alive. And we thank you for just as what God is doing with our president is helping to be free from ISIS and to be free from many, many things. And I can't figure out why people hate him so much, but I do understand why people hate him so much is because he stands against evil. And there is so much evil in the world today, and that's why he is just under attack. And the principalities and the powers of rulers of darkness is what is behind a lot of this thing. When you see the rioting, when you see the things that are going on in the world and such hate, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what is going on in the world today. 9/11, for me, I was, a lot of people will ask, they'll say, well, so where were you, you know, when 9/11 hit? I was on my way to the eye doctor. I was working as a relationship banker at BB&T in Cross Lanes, and I had left to go to the eye doctor, and Christy had called me coming down the hill at Institute, and she said, did you hear that a small airplane, I'm looking for something here, she said, did you hear that a small airplane had flown into the World Trade Center? And I said, a small airplane? I said, what, how small of an airplane? And she said it was a small airplane. And I'm thinking, okay, as a pilot, even back then, I was thinking, okay, how in the world can a pilot miss the World Trade? I mean, how would you hit the World Trade Center? It just absolutely would just seem to be one of the easy targets to miss. And as, you know, of course, the story goes on, and as things progress through the day, we saw what happened. I'm looking for something here that I read last night before I went to bed that I can't seem to find it, but I'm looking, it's in my news feed here on my Facebook page. But when you think about that, and I told Christy, I called her back because we had cell phones then, and I said, you know, that just is just amazing that that would happen. And so, you know, there's so many conspiracy theories that are popping around even about 9/11, and that it was something that you know was planned, and that, you know, our government was involved, and it's just, you know, why would something like that happen? The North Tower was struck at 8:46 in the morning. 9:03 a.m. the South Tower was struck. The Pentagon was struck at 9:37 a.m. At 9:59 the South Tower collapsed. At 10:07 a.m. Flight 93 crashed in Pennsylvania. And 10:28 a.m. the North Tower collapsed, and then, you know, when you think about, and Tim Morris had posted a picture. I'm still looking for this one thing for me to read to you. It was really good. I thought I posted it, but I must not have. When you think about what's going on in the world today, and you think about what has happened just in the 19 years. I mean, you just think, we have to be so close. We thought then that we were so close to the coming of the Lord, but even now, the way things are going on in this world, it's just as if, it's just crazy, a lot of the things. Let me look at his. What this was this gave an example of people that were late for work that day. Here it is. I found it. It was on Tim's. It was on Tim Morris's Facebook page, and it has a picture of three guys standing drinking coffee and an airplane getting ready to fly into the World Trade Center. Here's what it says. I heard of a company survived 9/11 because his son started kindergarten. Another man was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off on time. Another man was late because he was stuck in the New Jersey Turnpike because of an accident, and his life was spared. One person missed the bus. One spilled food on her clothes and had to take time to change. One's car wouldn't start. One couldn't get a taxi. One went back to answer the house phone. A man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning developed a blister before he got into the towers. So he stopped at the drugstore to buy a Band-Aid. When you're stuck in traffic, oversleep, miss your ride, all the little things that annoy you, maybe you're exactly where you're meant to be at the very moment. May all who perished in 9/11 rest in eternal peace, and may the loved ones still grieve, finding strength. I thought that was very good. If you ever oversleep, if anything ever, you know, just understand something. You can drop your car keys in the floor, and that throws you off 3 seconds, 4 seconds. And at that point, you and your life can be saved. We just don't know. God protects us from so many things that we don't have a clue. And why did this happen? That's one of those things that you just have to put on the shelf, and a lot of times there's no answer for them. But what is amazing, and here's what's sad, is that 9/11 united the world, united the United States, and it united Congress, it united the Senate. I remember days where, right after this happened, that Congress was out on the courthouse or out on the Capitol steps in unity with the firefighters and the policemen of New York City, with Mayor Rudy Giuliani and with all these people. And isn't it amazing what 19 years can do to where we're in unity because of that? And then the blame game begins. And that's what took place after that. And then after the smoke cleared, so to speak, and they started finding, you know, almost 3,000 people passed away in the World Trade Center attack and the Pentagon attack and the airplane that crashed in Pennsylvania. When you think about these things that took place and how unified we were, but now look 19 years later on how divided we are. Isn't it crazy that we are so divided in this world? And it's like, I mean, Nancy Pelosi and President Trump, and they just seem like they bicker back and forth at each other. And it's like even the pandemic has not unified the world. Even this pandemic of the coronavirus hasn't unified the world. And so, I mean, you see where we are in this world. You see how corrupt that this world is. And it's just a very, very difficult time within the United States. But I will tell you this. God is not shaken. God is not concerned. God is still on the throne. He is still alive and well, and he still cares about us. And I'm thankful that he still cares about us. And he cares about you this morning, and we would like to say good morning to you, and thank you for watching. Kathy is watching this morning, and good morning to you, Kathy. And Vince is watching. I hope you have a great day. Vince says that it is sad that the love for America has went away in 19 short years. Yes, that's true. Billy Harper is watching. Good morning, Billy. Praying for you last night. You came across my mind, and I thank the Lord that you watch the show. And Nellie and Dad are watching this morning, as well as Linda Nottingham is watching. Bowser is watching. And so thank you so much for being a part of the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. And you talking about something that when I woke up this morning, I woke up after this dream that I had. And, you know, sometimes I dream. Sometimes I don't, but sometimes I will dream. So we are in Warren, Ohio. I have an uncle. My dad's brother lived in Warren, Ohio. He's passed away. And so I was called to go preach at this huge church in Warren, Ohio. I'm talking huge. People all over the place. I mean, just a big church. And so anyway, I go in, and Dad and Mom are sitting up at their Mom was still living. They're sitting up in the auditorium. I mean, huge auditorium. And my uncle was sitting there, and I can't find my sermon that I'm preaching. I can't find it. And it's like they're getting ready to call me on, and I can't find praise and worship is going on. I can't find it. And so I'm looking everywhere. I have Dad and Mom are looking. They can't find it. My uncle's looking. And we can't find it. And so then I go in the back to where the green room is. There's all these people back there. And so I change clothes. And I change clothes to get ready to preach. Well, then I'm still looking for my sermon. And then my uncle Bill is going to the pulpit to announce me. And so then my dad comes to me and he says, "Son," he said, we got to go. There's something going on and we have to go." And so Mom and Dad left. They left and they had to go. And what I think, the way my dad looked at me, is that something had happened, but he didn't want to tell me that something had happened because he didn't want me to be shaken while I was getting ready to preach. So I'm going through the curtains, getting ready to come out, you know, and make the entrance to the pulpit. My uncle has already introduced me. I look down, and I've got a white t-shirt on. And a pair of shorts. and I'm thinking, I can't go out there looking like this. I mean, this was just a little bit ago when I woke up. And I'm thinking, what in the world? So then I've got people. I mean, so there's nobody on the platform. Make welcome to the stage, Pastor John Fowler. Boom. Nobody is at the platform. I'm looking for my clothes. I can't find my sermon. I mean, it was crazy. I am so glad that I woke up. And when I woke up, it was like I was so relieved. I went, whew, that was crazy. Now, why in the world would you dream something like that? Isn't that the craziest thing? One time I dreamed that I ate this huge marshmallow. And I woke up and my pillow was gone. It was just a crazy, crazy thing. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. It's Friday, September the 11th of 2020. And thank you for watching on Spotify, Apple Podcast, as well as Google Play, and also on Facebook. And we are live also on YouTube at the same time. Pretty cool thing. So tonight, the heavy hitters are here. John Sandy, Tim Morris. Tim Morris is already confirmed. Christy Fowler, and Jonathan Sandy, which is John and Cynthia's son, is coming down from Cincinnati to be a part of our show tonight. And he's going to share a story because he knows some people, because we're really working to help end sex trafficking in West Virginia. And so on the 24th of October, there will be an event at St. Timothy Lutheran Church with guest speakers, and Christy will talk more about it tonight as well. So we want you to get in on it. It's free of charge, dinner included, lunches included, breakfast, and some wonderful guest speakers that I think that you'll really enjoy, that have been there and that have fought through the process and are coming. I mean, there's a couple of them that are coming from Dallas, Texas. So this is big. This is big, and the Pulse is involved in it. So as well, St. Timothy Lutheran Church and Perot Church in Cross Lanes is involved in. I think there is a couple other churches that are coming together. So we're really looking forward to it, so that we can get together and begin to help educate people on how to end sex trafficking in West Virginia. So that's what a church is all about. Church is all about working in a community and helping people, and getting people in a place where that they can work. Marty, good morning. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. I am your host, John Fowler, and I preached a message on Wednesday night. Now, Wednesday we had Jay Mace, and Jay was talking about a sermon series that he's preaching called the Still Small Voice, and it was awesome. John Sandy was here yesterday, on Thursday, and talking about the other side of God, and that was awesome. So I preached this message on from a spinoff, so to speak, of what Jay Mace was talking about on Wednesday. And if you've not heard what Jay has been, what he's been preaching on, I encourage you to go to the Pulse Winfield Live on Facebook and also on YouTube. It's also his, our talk show is on all of the networks, so you can catch the podcast as well. And so what that did was that sparked this idea of what temptation is all about, because that's what he talked about. And we had a great conversation. So if you've not listened to it, I encourage you to. Now, the sermon that I preached, it's entitled, Temptation Doesn't Belong to You. Temptation doesn't belong to you. That is on YouTube as well as all of the networks with podcast, and it's also on Facebook. Look it up as of Wednesday. It's Wednesday night. There's some praise and worship, and then the sermon, which was recorded live at Gasaway at the Pulse campus. So I encourage you to go back and get that, because I'm just going to be able to hit the highlights on this today. But I really want to get into this, because this is just awesome what God showed me about this. After spending the hour with Jay, I sat here in the Connect Center here in Taze Valley, West Virginia, for another 2 hours just meditating and praying and working on a sermon for that Wednesday night. So let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we just lift up all of the families that are left behind from the ones that were killed during 9/11. Father, we pray also for all the families where loved ones were left behind who have passed away from the coronavirus. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will send, that we send that coronavirus back to hell where it belongs. Father, Lord, that it has no power to occupy this world. It's not bigger than God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that it dies in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that people will enjoy this study today as we get into it. And Father, that it helps us to be able to overcome temptation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Sarah. Sarah Thomas is watching today. Hope you're having a great morning. And I thought we'd get into this because it's really good. It's called The Temptation. Temptation Doesn't Belong to You. Let me just kind of go through some of the things that that I preached on. And if you have your Bibles, go over to James chapter 1, 12 through 16. That's kind of what we're going to discuss today, because I think this is going to help a lot of people. You say, well, why doesn't temptation belong to you? Well, the reason why is because you don't have to yield to temptation. That's why it doesn't belong to you. And I'll share a scripture here towards the end of it, if I don't forget, that kind of sums up everything. Okay, so let's get into this. James chapter 1, 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Enduring the test. Everyone endures a test. Now, understand that a test becomes a testimony. A test becomes a testimony. So you're going to go through tests in your life. There's going to be things that are going to take place in your life that you're not going to like. There's going to be things that have happened in your life that have changed you forever. Now, remember, God is in control of our lives if you allow Him to be. But if you make decisions on your own and do not include Him in those decisions, it would help you to start doing that. And the reason why is because He wants to be the leader of your life. You should not want to be the leader of your life. It should be Jesus. It should be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you what to do and how to be. And you say, well, how far do you want to take that? To where I have no control of myself? That's where you want to be, to where God is in control. If God is in full control, let me tell you something, you'll get out of the sin business. Remember what I said to you about Leonard Ravenhill and why revival tarries? A sinless man will pray more, and a sinful man will pray less. And so when you think about that, so we can get out of the sin business if we want to truly walk with Jesus. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. It says, blessed is a man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to him that loved him, that loves him. Now, let me give you something here that I need for you to think about. He says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. And I didn't say this the other night in the sermon. Not blessed is a man who yields to temptation. Now, that's good. We're not blessed if we yield to temptation, because there's sadness, there's disaster in our lives. And so what happens is we don't want to yield to temptation. All righty. So in the New Living Translation, I'm going to give you several translations of this verse. I just couldn't wait to get here this morning to talk about this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptations. Patiently endure testing and temptations. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Now, the English Standard Version of that says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. So there are some key words there. There in the NIV, if you endure temptation, then you are blessed, not yield to it. If you patiently endure, in the New Living Translation, the English Standard Version said, if you remain steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, that's where Jesus wants us to be. Blessed are those who persevere. This is the NIV. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. So when you define the word perseverance, it means to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or little or no prospect for success. You're pressing through. Here's the thing. What if Jesus would have said, all right, in the storm, in the midst of the storm, what if Jesus would have said, okay, boys, this storm is too bad. We've got to turn around. We've got to turn around because it's just too rough. It's too bad. Well, one thing that you have to understand, and this is where people who have boats can understand this, and people have, I've heard people say this, that, oh, God is my anchor in the storm. You're not supposed to drop an anchor in the storm. You don't want to stick around and stay in that storm. You go through the valley, and the Bible says, you know, when you're going through the valley, it doesn't say to stay there. You can't stay in the valley. You've got to get out of the valley. And if you're going through a valley today, and if you're in a valley of depression, you've got to get out of it. You say, well, I don't know how to get out of it. I'm helping you this morning because I love you and I want to see you get out of it. Now, let me give you something here. This is 1 Corinthians. This is what I was going to read to you right after. right after I read James chapter 1 and verse 12. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58, it says this. Now, remember, he says, patiently endures temptation. The English Standard Version says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. Now, let me back this up with a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, Marty says, the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. Absolutely. That's an old song from the McCameys, God on the Mountain. Great song. I remember playing that song on the radio for the very first time. But see, in verse 57, it says this, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. He doesn't say always failing. It doesn't say always messing up. It doesn't say always sinning. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's good. When you define perseverance, it says this. It says to continue in the course of action, even in the face of difficulty. Don't cave when things get rough. And believe you me, I have wanted to in my life to cave and to stop and to just quit. But you can't quit. You've got to stay in the midst of the battle. You've got to stay in it. And you've got to bloody your sword every night. Wake up in the morning with a mission to drive the devil crazy and the demons crazy. Not for the devil to drive you crazy, but you drive him crazy. To where when your feet hit the floor, he says, my God, he's awake again. She's awake again. What are they going to do to me today? The devil has no power over you. God has power to defeat the devil inside of you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Church, you do not have to put up with what the enemy is trying to do to you. Can somebody say hallelujah? That's good preaching right there. Because it's the Bible. It's the Bible. Now, let me go back and let's get verse 13 of James chapter 1. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So you've got to get God out of the picture right there that says that God is tempting me. God is testing me. God is pushing me. God allowed that naked woman to pull up on the internet and for me to look at it. God did not allow that. God did not allow. Well, God allowed me to have an affair, and when I shouldn't have. No. God had nothing to do with that. Understand, God did nothing about that. What the enemy does, and this is what I shared the other day, the enemy, and Jay Mace, I got this from Jay, this is not me, the enemy studies you. He studies your patterns. He studies what you like and what you don't like, and then what he does is he will bait you. He will bait you like a fish. I mean, like a line that you, and then you throw it in to get the fish. And then what the enemy does is he says, when you latch onto it, he says, ah, I got him. So then the enemy starts throwing a bunch of things in your way. And the next thing, you're yielding to temptation. Only thing the devil does is bait you. And then if you take the bait, then you're hooked. Now that's good. But God doesn't tempt you. You say, well, if God really loves me, then why would he let me yield to temptation? Well, he's given you, let me give you this scripture. Giving you away. He's given us a way out of all temptation. Let me give you this scripture. 1 Corinthians, not far from there, verse 10. 1 Corinthians, verse 10. And verse 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And what do you think about that? He said that he would give us a way of escape of all temptation. All temptation. Make a way of escape that you do not have to bear it. That's the God we serve. If the building is on fire and the Holy Spirit is telling you to get out, get out, get out, then you know what you do need to do is to get out. Because let me tell you something, there is destruction through temptation. And you do not want to yield to temptation. And you don't have to. You don't have to yield to temptation. You say, well, I'm a fallen man, I'm going to sin every day. Or I'm a fallen woman, I'm going to sin every day. You don't have to. The Bible doesn't tell you any place in the Bible where you're going to sin. He tells you, just like I read to you, be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. You don't have to yield to it. That's what it says. Because we have the power to defeat the enemy within inside of us. In verse 14, it says this. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is where I got the meat and potatoes of this sermon. And this is in James chapter 1. Those that have just joined us, good morning. You're watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. And I'm your host, John Fowler, and thank you for being a part of the show this morning, the Bible study. We do this Monday through Friday around 8 to 8:15 in the mornings. And we appreciate you being a part of it. We encourage you to share this with your friends on Spotify as well as Google Play and also on Apple Podcast as well, Facebook and YouTube. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. All right, let's stop there. Every man is tempted. There's a prerequisite here. When he is drawn away. So if you're not drawn away, then you'll not be tempted. Huh. So if you allow yourself to not be drawn away. And you say, drawn away from what? I'm talking about drawn away. You cannot let your guard down for 1 minute. You cannot let your shield down for 1 minute. You cannot let the whole armor of God down for 1 minute. If you do, then the enemy will get in and he'll get a foothold on you. And the next thing you know, he'll take over. You have to be so careful. So, This is what's so good about this scripture. But every man is tempted when. So there's something there that you don't have to do. If he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That means that you are drawn away with your own desires, with your own lusts, with the things that you want. The woman that you want, but you're married to somebody else. The man that you want, but you're married to somebody else. The desires, the sexual desires that you may have towards somebody. The Bible says that you can crucify the flesh. The Bible says that we have to crucify the flesh. And you say, well, that's too hard to crucify the flesh. No, it's not. Because let me tell you something. God can help you and me. Because if we will fall in love with Jesus, then we won't want to sin. We won't want to do wrong. We will want to serve God and please Him. It's a bad decision. It's like I say this many times. How many times have you gone to McDonald's and you say, well, you know, I'm going to eat healthy today. I'm going to have a salad. Then you look up and you start looking at the menu. And you see that quarter pounder that's made fresh. Or you look at the French fries. You look at the French fries and you say, wow, I've just got to have those. See, we're enticed by the five senses. The five senses will entice you. And that one is see and smell and taste. There's three different things. So what happens is, we yield to those things because of we don't have willpower, number one. But number two, we don't have God power in us. We've got to have God's power inside of us for us to be able to overcome. Because He tells us, and I just read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that He's faithful. He's faithful. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. See, God knows that you can press through. You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to take those drugs. You don't have to be addicted to alcohol. You don't have to be addicted to sex or pornography. You don't have to be addicted to those things. You say, well, I've been doing those things for years. How am I going to get free? Well, Bob Newhart says it best, and I need to post this on, I'll post this on my Facebook after we get done. And it's the perfect way to be able to kick any addiction. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Stop it. Stop it. You just stop it. But I can't stop it. Drawn away from his own lust and enticed. So you got two different things here. You've got your own lust that you have to deal with, and that's not necessarily sexual. It is sexual, but it's not necessarily sexual as well. I mean, it is part of sexual, but then also lust can be you're lusting after material things. It's your desires. I want, I want, I want. It's all about me, me, me. You know, that's what happens. That's why the abortion issue is such a big, not to get political on this show, but that's why the abortion issue is such a big deal. Because people say, because women, I've heard them say this, ain't no man or ain't nobody going to tell me what I can do with my baby. If I want to kill my baby, I can kill my baby. God gives life. God takes life. We don't do that. God does that. Drawn away from our own lust. We are so self-centered in this world today that it is all about us, and it can't be about us. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that we obey what He says. We had a dear friend of ours that he ended up committing suicide. I hated it. Did we expect it? Yes, we expected that he would do that. And he killed himself. He hung himself. And he was working on his Master's of Divinity at Liberty University. The guy was brilliant. It's amazing what Adam could have done for the kingdom of God. And so Adam would do so good for so long, and then all of a sudden, he would go off on the deep end and start drinking and doing drugs and meth and all these kind of things. And I asked him one time, and I said, Adam, I said, how do you get permission from God to do drugs? And he says, what do you mean? I said, how do you get permission? And he says, well, I don't ask. Well, who in the world? You've got to run this stuff by God. If you're going to sin, ask God first if it's okay. Ask him for permission to sin. See what he tells you. Well, I didn't know I had to ask permission to sin. Ask him. See what he tells you. He's going to give you the word. The Holy Spirit. You mean the Lord will speak to you? Absolutely. I'm speaking the word of God to you today. He's speaking to you right here. But not only that, he speaks to our heart. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He gives me things as I'm on this show. He's given things to me to tell you. But we can't be drawn away. We have to be steadfast with God. We have to draw into Him. So draw in, not away. Draw in and not away. I got to write that down. I forgot to get a pen. Hold on a second. I got pens right. Some of these things, I tell you, I have to write down. Draw in, not away. Yeah, that's what we have to do. So, draw away, who draws to away? We do. God does not draw us away. We are our worst enemy. The enemy, the devil, will just entice us. He will bait you, and then it's up to you whether you take the bait or not. You ever heard that saying? Don't take the bait from the devil. Don't take the bait from the devil. Because what it'll do is it'll kill you. Because when sin gets done with you, when it conceives, and I'll try to get to that and see what time it is. Wow, time goes so fast. But each person is tempted when he is dragged away from his own evil desire and is enticed. The New Living Translation says, temptation comes from our own desires. Did you listen to that? It's like we think that we're tempted because of something out of the blue. No, we're tempted by our own desires. It's us. We are the ones that are enticed and we drag away. You're tempted when you drawn away from what? God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not have to war after the flesh." For though we walk after the flesh, we do not have to war. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not have to war after the flesh. Temptation is a choice. Warring after the flesh is a choice. Temptation is a choice, and warring after the flesh is a choice. If your flesh is dead, and I'm talking about spiritually dead, if your flesh is spiritually dead, then there is no war. There's a war to kill it, but then when you're dead, the flesh is dead. That's where we need to be. We need to be dead to sin. We need to be dead to sin. My mentor preached this to me. He preached this to me for years and years and years. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here it is. And verse 5. Let me go up there to verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Wow. Romans 8 and verse 5. That's so cool. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are drawn away from your own lusts, if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. If you are tempted in your own desires and enticed and drug away, you cannot please God because you are warring after the flesh. Then he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be in the Spirit of God dwelling in you. See, if he is dwelling in you, then you won't be drawn away. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he has none of his. And if Christ be in you, here it is. Here it is right here. Backs everything up I've said. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Wow, that is so good. So the body is dead because of sin. It's been crucified. We crucify the flesh. We have to do that on a day-to-day basis. We cannot have our way. God has to have his true way in our lives. Wow. I didn't get hardly anywhere. I'm going to stop right there because I think I should. Because I don't want to choke you to death with this, because I want you to listen to this again. I want you to get the gist of what I'm saying to you and what the Word of God is saying to us. Isn't that good? That's good word right there. Just want to pull up a couple things here. I'm preaching tomorrow night a tent revival up in Bluefield in Braxton County. It's off of Chapel Road. If you go to my Facebook, John Fowler, the information is there, and you can be able to find it. The revival starts tonight at 6 o'clock. It's a tent revival. And so I encourage you to attend, and I'll be there tomorrow night. It starts at 6 o'clock, and I'm expecting just God to do great things and to pray for the sick and to believe God for miracles and people to be healed. And so I want to encourage you to be there. And then Sunday morning, the Pulse Experience in Gassaway at 10. Well, let's see, we start at 10 o'clock with Connect Groups, John Sandy, Tim Toston, and there's some groups for children as well and for teenagers. Emmett Wayne and my wife teach, as well as Bryce and Alexa Steele. So I encourage you to come and be a part of it. John Sandy's is live on the Pulse Gassaway, so you can catch his at 10:15. And then we get into the Pulse Experience, which is our church service, at 11:15. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Now, there is something that's also on my Facebook I encourage you to go look at. It's called The Return. And we were talking about this yesterday. It's the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. And it is between the Washington Monument and Capitol Hill on Saturday, September 26th at 9 a.m. And the return evening service is on Friday at 6. So that's the Next Generation, Friday night, September the 25th, from 6 to 9 p.m. On that night. So that is on my Facebook page. It's also on the Pulse Gassaway. And if you can be a part of that event, I think that would be really awesome. And to be a part of that. So that is coming up this month. So we've got a busy weekend, got a lot going on, and I encourage you to be a part of it, because we are we're busy in life, and you're busy and I'm busy, but I want to be busy for the kingdom of God. I want to be busy for the kingdom of God. And Vince, I agree. The great children's group and teen group at the Pulse in Gasway. So thank you very much for watching. And don't forget that it's on Spotify, it's on Google Play, and it's on Apple Podcast, as well as Facebook and YouTube. And so I ask you if you would take this and share it and get it out to your people. It'd be your evangelism check mark for the day, because Matthew 28 says, go into all the world. Well, you go and you hit share, and you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is so good. If you are blessed by this ministry, then we want to encourage you to give to this ministry. There's three different ways on the screen that you can give. The Pulse, WV.com, is one of the ways that you can give through PayPal. You can also right now take your mobile device or your tablet or your Samsung, whatever you've got, text the word Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, to 1-304-244-3187, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and write a check and mail it to P.O. Box 141, Gasaway, West Virginia, 26624. We are believing for the Lord for us to be able to pay off our buildings in Gasaway so that we can put more money back into the community, and we are really excited about that. Kristen, good to see you, and hope you're doing well, and want to encourage you to go back, Kristen, since you just joined. And you can get this on Spotify as well as Google Play, on Facebook right here where you are. As soon as I end this, then it'll be available for you to listen to. And I encourage that. And it's always a blessing that you're on. So I pray you have a great weekend. I pray that you have a wonderful day. I pray that God does great things in you. Go back and research what I'm saying to you about temptation doesn't belong to you. And then we'll finish this on another time. Father, we love you today. We praise you. We thank you, God, for revelation. Lord, I thank you for this weekend. I thank you, God, for this day. Father, I pray you help us tonight during the Pulse WV show that we do, the Pulse WV Live. I pray, Father God, that your name will be exalted and lifted up. And we give you thanks and we give you praise, because it is in the name of Jesus. And I love that name of Jesus. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. So I pray you have a great day. It's Friday, so we're going off of the air with Glenn Campbell. And I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to show a little kindness today. This is one of the songs that I just absolutely love. God bless you, and have a great weekend.
I just kind of wanted to close it out with a song a friend of mine wrote called Try a Little Kindness. Because when you're kind and you treat people kind, you get treated in kind.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load, yes, from the seed he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, well, just stop and say, girl, you're going the wrong way. 'Cause you've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on their narrow-minded street. Don't you walk around the down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day is gonna help someone alone. Narrow-minded people on their narrow-minded street.